Father in heaven, I just want to thank you once again because you are our glorious
King. No,
you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you because you've got the whole world, each one of us in your hands. And I just pray as we go into today's talk that your name will be glorified. I pray everything that comes out of my mouth this morning, in spite of the preparation, be to glorify your name, to be pleasing to you, and to be blessed, to be a blessing unto us the hearers. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're continuing on this theme of being set apart for His glory, and today I've been given the topic.
That's higher than what David did last week.
Submission in home and workplace.
That's not right.
No, but you can't still hear.
So I'm just going to start by just reading the text. And some places are highlighted, I'm not going to talk about that yet. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the train and admonition of the Lord. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality, there's no favoritism with him. I'm going to ask us a question.
Let me close the mic and say,
who, what do you consider yourself to be? If you're a child, show your hands. Okay? Most of us are small. So some of us are both. But if you consider yourself an employee, a volunteer, a servant, a worker, let me see my show of hands. Okay, if you consider yourself a boss, a manager, a master, a landlord. Yeah? A landlady, okay? So some of us, I think most of us here actually want both. So this applies to us all. And the truth is, we're all children of God. So this applies to us. Okay, children, we're going to consider the first verse here. And I'm just going to read through most of this, and then we're going to give some examples. Or it might be, I don't know. We'll see how the Holy Spirit goes. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul gave a straightforward instruction. Children should obey their parents. But he added an important qualifier, in the Lord. So are we saying if the parents are not in the Lord, we should obey them? Food for thought. We won't give an example later. In the Colossian text, it says, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And there is an emotional and spiritual effect of obedience that is being highlighted here. It pleases the Lord when we obey our parents. Paul also emphasized that obedience is morally right. He said it's the right thing. We've been talking about glorifying the Lord this morning. It is spiritually meaningful, and it is a part of a child's worship. As we obey the Lord, we worship the Lord. Interesting. So I just want us to note a few things here, and I'm just going to give an example. It assumes that the parents are guiding in ways that are in keeping with God's character. It sets the tone for a family relationship within the larger Christian community, and we are all children of God. Let me just go on for a moment. Verse 2, and then I'll come back to an example. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on earth. How many of us want to live long on this earth? Maybe some of us want to go early. But I think, from what I'm seeing, a lot of us want to live long here on earth. I don't know why, but that is the situation. And this was quoted from the fifth commandment, and it is the first to come with a promise. You know, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. And sometimes you may look at this. The Colossians text did not have the honor your father, but this one did. And so we may ask ourselves, does obedience not include this? Not really. Obedience, you will find that is an action, and honor goes deeper than obedience. And it is to be encouraged and instilled from childhood. Let me give a caveat here. When I'm talking about children, I'm talking about children physically, and I'm talking about children spiritually. Because and Paul was actually addressing the Christians in Ephesus at the time. So I'm going to assume that we're all Christians here this morning. And if you're not, just see me after the service, and hopefully you'll be one at the end of that time. So Paul was actually talking to the Christians then, and there were Christians in the Lord. Remember, Jesus had come, and this was the new era. And there were children in the Lord, I mean, and there were children physically. And I think this applies to both. Well, I am applying it to both at this point. Because when people are born again, they are babes in the Lord. And we need to instill what we feel is honorable as Christians, even in the lives of our children, whether they be our natural children, our biological children, or our spiritual children. Amen. Obedience is an action. Sometimes we don't want to obey, but we have to. It is an action we take, even though we sometimes may not like it. And children, as in natural children, you'll be able to agree with me that many times they're not ready to obey. Mommy's saying come, and they're going in the opposite direction. And you make them obey, because it is for their own well-being. It is for their own safety. Honor actually is rooted in our attitude. It is respect, gratitude, and recognition of a parental role. So this also applies maybe when you feel you're a teenager, or you're a young adult, or you are now a parent yourself. You still honor your parents, don't you? It goes deeper than you don't have to believe or agree with all that your parents may be saying at the time, but you still honor them. You still feel respect for them. And you recognize them. And spiritually as well, we have our spiritual, what we call mothers, or people that are in parental role to us. And we respect what they have to say, because they have been Christians before us. And the Bible tells us those who have gone before us are for our examples. So they're guiding us in the way that we should go. Honor goes beyond childhood into adulthood, even when obedience may no longer apply. More importantly, honor comes with a God-given promise of long life and wellness and health. Respectful family relationships tend to produce healthier, more stable lives. It reflects God's design for community living. This is not an automatic guarantee for long life, so don't quote me here. But it is a wisdom principle. When things are running smoothly, you tend to see wellness, health, and goodness, wholesomeness, from those situations. It is a known fact that living in obedience and in harmony with God's instructions leads to flourishing. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. Okay, let me go back a stage. And this is just to provoke our talks. I'll just give a quick example. I was 15 years old, and I was under my father's roof at the time. And I'm speaking to Christians now. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things. And he gave me an instruction to do something that at the time, remember I gave my life to Christ when I was 12, most of you will know that. And then he gave me an instruction. He was not a Christian at the time. He gave me an instruction that I knew was not going to honor God and was not for my own well-being. And it was an instruction that my siblings were ready to carry out. And my whole body froze. And I didn't obey him on that instruction. And he gave me the ultimatum. He gave me a quit notice that if I was not going to do this thing, then I might as well pack my load and go. And I didn't. Because why? I didn't believe it was going to honor God. I didn't believe it was glorifying to God. And then God gave me this thing that I've carried my whole life. When culture and the Bible clash, the Bible trumps. So I didn't. And was I disobedient? What would you say? Did I break the law in this occasion? Or did I not? We can discuss it at community group. I'll give another story later. It says, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them in the discipline and instruction in the Lord. Can we see that for both children and both parents, fathers and mothers, the Bible says, in the Lord. In the Lord. Paul did not give parents unchecked authority that no matter what they say, the kids should follow. However, he is calling them to avoid things that may discourage them. Avoid harshness, avoid exasperation, raise children with Christ-like patience and guidance in the Lord, and not act in ways that bring discouragement to children. Okay. I will say something about the story I just told. I did not, he told me to pack my notes and go, and I also disobeyed on that one. I'll come back to that later. A parent's responsibility is primarily to train and guide them under God. Proverbs 22:6 teaches us that guiding a child in the right and moral and spiritual path lays a foundation that endures into adulthood. This was not just a social instruction that Paul was giving. He was giving us a household code to follow, if I can say that. Right, one step back. Fathers, the Bible talks about fathers, about parents, about mothers in the Lord, and that's where we come into. A few years down the line, about 8 years after these incidents that I talked about, my father gave his life to Christ, which was a big miracle, to be honest. I won't go into that. However, he was a babe in the Lord, but he was still my father. So he's the father, I'm the child. And so there was a dilemma for me. And I remember sometimes he would say some things and I would say, no, Dad, no. At that point, I was more mature than him in Christianity. And so the roles were reversed. Honestly, I had to take kind of a parental role to my father, but because of the culture, I would say to my dad, Dad, for this moment, can you just see me as your sister in the Lord? That was the only way I could really communicate with him, because of the culture as well. Because children in the African culture, you can't instruct an adult, you know. But because he had received Christ, a humility came over him that even I didn't understand. And so I would say to my father, no, Dad, just for a moment, just see me as your sister in the Lord, and he will come down. And then I'll be able to instruct him and guide him. That being said, his giftings grew very tremendously, and he became an evangelist. He became an evangelist every day of his life till he passed away. But it gladdened my heart, because after that we had a kind of different kind of relationship. So the things, and then he used to come to me and say, Wayne, can you please pray for me on this issue? Wayne, can you please pray for me on this issue? And God was so gracious, because I was so scared that, God, if you don't answer this prayer, this man will go back. But on each occasion, God answered those prayers. So we thank God for that. Another example I want to quickly give is a friend of mine was a teacher in this country. She was also born in this country and grew up partially in Nigeria, but most of her life here. And she has three children. And her second child, she was telling us this story, and I held on to it. This was about 20 years ago or more, even when she told this story about her daughter. In school, I can't remember when they brought in this law. If you don't take your child to school, you get a fine. So if your child is under 16, it is the responsibility of the parent to ensure that that child goes to school. And so, this young lady, her hormones were maybe going up, running riot, I would say, and she felt she knew more than her parents and said she was not going to go to church. And her parents, her mom, my friend, said, look, in school, I am the head teacher of my school, and if a parent does not bring a child to school, they get a fine. Up until the time they're 16. Whether you like it or not, you are coming to church to me because I have a responsibility to God. If the world can give this instruction, how much more God? I don't care what you do, I don't care how you dress, you are coming to church with me. And she said her daughter would come with a Mills and Boons book and sit on one of those chairs that Joanna and Lisa normally sit every Sunday. The mom decided not to be provoked, but brought her every Sunday until she was 16. By the time she was 16, I think God had laid hold of her. And actually, that young lady, she is in her 30s, late 30s now. She is a woman of God, preaching the gospel, writing books to the glory of God. Here in this country, they live in Kent. So the parent had to do, of course, I know a lot of prayers were going on in the background, but the mother said, if the world could do that, how much more me and God? And decided that, I don't care what tantrum you want to throw, you are coming to church, and made sure that her daughter was in church. So there's something to learn there, because the Bible says, train a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow up, they will not depart. Ours is not to take instruction as parents from children. Ours is to lead, to train, to instruct, and ensure that they follow that. And we're going into the employer, employee, worker, manager, boss session now. But I just want us to think about it, even as employees. If they say your starting time is 8, it is an instruction. You go. You are there. Whether you like your bed or not, you get up and you go. So bond servant says, be obedient to those who are your masters. Some translations say slaves. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. knowing that whatever anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. I just want to bring some context here, because even in my, you know, community as a black person, I have heard some people hurt by this passage. And when this passage is referred to, there's sometimes a misconception to relate this to the modern transatlantic slave trade times. My tongue is twisting. It is important to know that Paul was addressing an already existing social system. This was before transatlantic. In the Roman Empire, slavery was a universal economic structure. It wasn't a race-based chattel slavery. People became slaves through war. They were captured, through death, through birth, poverty, and even more. And many of them may even have had skilled roles. Paul was writing to Christians within the system because they didn't have a choice at the time. He was not endorsing slavery, not at all. But he was giving an instruction for how believers should behave in the situations they were already in. Paul presented a principle that makes the very idea of slavery incompatible with our Christian beliefs. He reminded both masters and slaves that they have the same master in heaven and there's no favoritism with him. How does this apply to us today? This passage nowadays is generally applied to us in a work setting, whether it be voluntary or paid, employer, employee, manager, staff, leader, volunteer, homeowner, household settings, you know, where you have OPMs and things like that. This applies. What was Paul saying? We are all, if we're a worker in any of these categories, what the Lord is encouraging us to do is to work with integrity, to be obedient. All of us know how to be obedient to our workplace masters. If you don't go to work, you don't get paid or you get sacked. It's as simple as that. Do the work as a calling in that workplace. We are not just Christians in church. We are Christians every day, 24/7. So wherever we find ourselves, in whatever vocation or workplace, we're supposed to be doing it as though this is what God, the ministry that God has given me at this point in time. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Colossians 3:23. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ in whatever setting we find ourselves. Not to do it for compliments or for a position, but with sincerity, with goodwill, doing the service as to the Lord. And remember, whatever anyone does, he or she will receive that same from the Lord. So, masters, let me just kind of go on now. And you masters, do the same things. I found this very interesting. Because Paul was saying that the master should do the same things he was saying to the servants, to the bond servants, to the slaves. Do the same things. Give up threatening, knowing that your own master is also in heaven and there is no partiality with him. What was he saying? He was saying that it instructs masters and leaders to do the same things. And in Mark 12:31, Jesus said, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. Jesus said that. That means he's saying, whether you are the master or the employer or the, manager, landlord, landlady, according to Job, we are to treat whoever we are dealing with in any, whatever setting, the same way we want to be dealt with. Remember, I said, do the same things, that whatever we do, we would receive the same. it suggests that those who are in position of authority should lead with integrity, lead with justice and fairness as to the law, without oppression, without threats. Remember, whatever is done, would the same will be received from the Lord. Okay. I'm going to give another example now. As children of God, as leaders, some of us sometimes want to, lord it over whoever we're leading, or because we're old, or because we have been long in a place of work, or because we feel we're more skilled, we kind of sometimes feel the need, unconsciously sometimes, or because we feel we're in a position of authority, we feel the need to lord it over others, or to want our views to be the views of others, let me put it that way. We might want to discuss this again in our community groups. My daughter, some of you have met her, my first daughter, when she was doing her first degree, was in a beautiful church. And this has happened to my sister as well. And the pastor said to her, long story short, he was trying to matchmake her with a beautiful brother. And I think that happened about twice. So this happened while she was in college, and another pastor, while we were in Romford, was trying to do the same thing, matchmake my daughter with a beautiful brother in Christ. However, I had said to all my children, you might call me radical, but I have said this to them. I said, as the Lord wills, if you are to get married, if you are bringing anybody to this house, I have only two conditions. We can discuss this later. But the second one is, first one is to be born again. Second one, to be Holy Spirit filled. You ask me for the why I say that. And the third one is that they need to pray and be 100% sure. So this came up, and this beautiful man of God in Canterbury spoke to my daughter, and she called me and said, this is where honor comes in. If your child is able to come back to you and discuss some deep issues, then you are blessed. I count it a privilege. And called me, she said, this is what's happened. This is she's feeling uneasy. I said, precious, you have to go and pray. And then she said she went to pray, and she felt very uneasy. So I said, then tell the pastor, no. God is not an author of confusion. And if you are not comfortable with it, God is not going to give you anything that is going to make you uncomfortable. And so that ended. This is a pastor. Was she meant to obey him in all things? And the one thing I would say is that we have leaders to oversee us. And that is a God-given position that God has given. We have a responsibility to pray for our leaders. But God gives us leaders for orderliness in the house of God. And it is very important. But at the same time, we are all children of God. And God can equally speak to us. So we cannot take the voice of one person as God's voice. God's voice is God's voice, nothing else. So there has to be a balance. So was my daughter right not to listen to the man of God? No. And then eventually, as you know, she's married now. When she came across this person, my daughter, for one reason or the other, was the one of my children that did not associate and growing up with any Caucasian person. She's so, even though we lived in predominantly white areas as they were growing up, she somehow managed to find all the black people for her friends. And she's the second child. My first and last managed to hardly have any black friends because of how they grew. But my precious, managed to find Black as her friend. So everybody in the family believed she was going to marry. This is the one that is marrying an African person. And then about 4 years later, after the other incident, she calls me and says, "Mom, there is this Welsh man that is kind of coming after me and all that." And I said, "Precious, have you prayed?" He said, "But he's saying God is calling him to ministry in Welsh, and I'm just studying here, and I don't think that." I said, "Precious, have you prayed?" And I think because of her prejudice, unconscious prejudice, she didn't know how she was going to relate, or because she's not, you know. So 4 months down the line, I said, no, Mom, it's not happening. I said, "Okay, fine." And then four months down the line, she calls me, "Mom, it looks like it's happening." I said, "Precious, have you prayed?" she said, "Yes." I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Are you 100% sure?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, what's his name?" So I didn't want to know anything about him until she was sure. Because the truth is, she's going to marry, I'm not going to be there. It's her home, and she needs to be sure. I said, "Precious, you know that if anything happens, it is only God you can go back to. That is why I need you to be sure." And she said, "Yes." And to be honest, I'll give this example because, to be honest, she started that relationship October, November 2017. And the other siblings went to Spikerland February 2018 to see who is this Welshman that has captured the heart of our sister. Is it true? And they came back and my son said, "Mom, you won't believe it. He is so much like that." And that kind of poured peace and goodness into my heart. And then they came to see us in March 2018, and I could see and I could tell that this man had the Spirit of God in him. He wasn't just born again, but he had the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? A couple of months after that, they had a very big challenge, which I know that if it was not founded on God, that relationship would have broken down. 2 months after that, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer in May 2018. And they had just started a relationship 6 months earlier. But you see, the minute I went, this was the first time I'm meeting the parents, and there was no fear in the heart of Matthew or in the heart of his parents. Why? Because God was in this situation. So if they had gone by flesh, and I know without a shadow of doubt, if it was many African families, if the young man is not even wanting to get out, the parents would almost persecute him to get out of that relationship. That you haven't started your life and there is already this. Especially when they were saying the likelihood of Precious not having a natural child was very high. But to the glory of God, she's got 2 children now, naturally. So, what are we saying? Let me just go to the highlights of what we've read, what we've heard so far. The part about parents' children isn't about children behaving well and parents exercising unchecked authority. It's part of an all-encompassing vision where Christ reshapes the household. Authority is exercised with love. Obedience is rooted in training and discipleship, whether natural or spiritual. Honor leads to flourishing, both of the children and those in parental roles. When you see your child flourish, it gladdens your heart. Every member of the family reflects Christ in their role. These promote a beautiful, balanced, and deeply relational family. The obedience of the children is paired with the responsibility of the parents. Christ has set us an example by his complete obedience to his Heavenly Father, Philippians 2:5-8. And the passage about leadership, service, the various types of those type of relationships may even, and these relationships may even be in a broken system. It emphasizes that Christ should be at the center of all our relationships. Some of us, yes, we may be in places of work where you know that Christ is not honored, but that's why we are there. That's why God has placed us there, in our little patches of land, in our little Jerusalem. That proverb says, charity begins at home. So from where we are, we spread out. And we become a community of people who are doing the right things. Everyone is under the authority of Christ. Power and authority is exercised with the love of God. Submission is mutual in spirit. This scripture actually, Judith will be speaking about, is part of the submission series, and Judith will be talking about the ones between couples in a few weeks' time. But submission is actually love in another way. So it goes both ways. Every role we hold is a way of serving God, whether as a leader or as somebody who is following, as an employee, as an employer. We treat everyone with dignity, regardless of their status, knowing that we all have the same master. Whoever wants to lead must be ready to serve. That's what Jesus said. So we're in a position of authority. We need to be in a position where we're ready to listen and to serve. God shows no favoritism. He is not prejudiced. In summary, we see from the passages we have considered that every relationship should be transformed by Christ, especially where power is involved. We know that obedience is morally right, spiritually meaningful, and is part of our worship. Philemon, in Philemon 16, Paul tells Philemon to receive Onesimus no longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother. Treat him equally. So we are no longer a slave. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Ephesians 4:32 reminds us to be kind to one another. And David referred to this last week, to be tender-hearted, to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. And Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another. There is no status there, out of reverence for Christ. And remember, whatever a person sows, this he or she will also reap. I pray that each one of us will daily submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and be true ambassadors for Christ in our workplace or in our areas of service or influence, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.